Okay, is everybody ready?
No.
Everybody needs to get ready. You're ready? Ready on your mark, get set. I don't know if you've ever seen the this guy on TV that says, and they go, get ready, and he goes. So let's all get ready. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this day. It's a blessing, God, to be able to meet right here in this building, in this room, and to go through this book. Lord God, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would anoint our minds and show us things of value, Lord God. Show us the things that would mean something to us. And Lord, we thank you for all of this now, and we ask that your hand would be over it and over the slide machine and all this stuff. In Jesus' name, amen. I do have a slideshow if we get to that point on the luminaries. If you guys have been reading ahead, you probably saw the sun and the moon and all the luminaries. So it's real interesting. But it takes some study to understand what's being said when you get there. Now, we're at 70. Everybody agree with that? Whether you like it or not, that's where we're at. Okay, 70, it's down at the bottom of the page. It's under the title from the book, at least, The Final Translation of Enoch. Now, we know because we've been reading about Enoch and his translation and where he's been and how he's been used and his training and all in the early parts of the book, how he was taken out and he dwelt with the angels on earth, the watchers, and he learned to be a scribe, and how God used him, taught him how to write and do all these things at that point, and how he would have visions, and then God would take him off and show him things. And we've been reading all about those. This is called The Final Translation of Enoch, and it's short, but it's interesting. And it says, and it came to pass after this, that his name during his lifetime was raised aloft to that Son of Man and to the Lord of Spirits from amongst those who dwell on the earth, and he was raised aloft. This is Enoch that's being spoken of. On the chariots of the Spirit, and his name vanished among them, and from that day I was no longer numbered amongst them. And he set me between the two winds, between the north and the west, where the angels took the cords to measure for me the place for the elect and righteous. And there I saw the first fathers and the righteous who from the beginning dwell in that place. So it's not very much written here, but it is an interesting statement. First of all, he wasn't just set off to the side where the angels, the watchers, had their camp on the earth, but he was raised aloft to that Son of Man. And we've been reading that the Son of Man that is referenced here is the name for this very special man. We know him as Jesus, where he had come forth in the later chapters. Earlier than that, he's called the Elect One. Okay? But here he's called the Son of Man. I think that the reference to the Son of Man, Jesus is referred to as the Son of Man 60 times in the New Testament. 60 different locations, not necessarily different references, you know, because it's in all the Gospels. But he's referred to as the Son of Man. And this is because Jesus came, and it says, a body thou hast prepared for me. And he came to this world and took on flesh, that he might accomplish what God the Father wanted him to do. And that's what we're seeing here, is that he has raised aloft back to the Son of Man, back to our Lord Jesus Christ in the heavens, and to the Lord of Spirits, which is God the Father. And from among those who dwell on the earth, he was raised aloft on the chariots of the Spirit, and his name vanished from among them. He just wasn't there anymore. And from that day, I was no longer numbered amongst the people, basically, And he set me between the winds and between the north and the west, where the angels took the cords to measure. Now, we've already read earlier in this book how he is being taken on this guided tour of the heavens and different places and the angels. And there's these angels that stood up and said, and they got these cords and they took off. And he said, where are they going? He says, they're going to measure a place for the people to live. And they're going and they're measuring heaven. And, you know, because in here already we've seen that of the mansions that are made for the righteous, that in the mansions in heaven. And here, and he was saying that here's what they're doing. They're taking the cords. And he says, here, this, where they're taking me is where the angels went that had the cords to measure for me a place to live. And he said, and it's a place for the elect and righteous. It's a place for the church. The Son of Man and his church is where Enoch ended up on his ascension. When he was taken up, he went to that place and to dwell there. And I saw the first fathers, the Old Testament saints, the first fathers, the people he knew that had, remember when Jesus went in and led captivity captive? Okay, and brought it out, and there was a resurrection on this day. On his resurrection, the graves were open, and many of the Old Testament people went up. And he says, I saw there the first fathers and the righteous who from the beginning, they dwell in that place. So this is where God wants to be, our Lord wants to be with his bride, his people. Before we go on to two earlier visions of Enoch, anybody want to comment? Have something? Okay. I mean, I'll give you a chance. Two earlier visions of Enoch, 71. It came to pass after that, my spirit was translated, and it ascended into the heavens. And I saw the holy sons of God. There, they were stepping on flames of fire. Their garments were white, and their raiment, and their faces shone like snow. And I saw two streams of fire, and the light of the fire shone like hyacinth. And I fell on my face before the Lord of Spirits, before God. And the angel Michael, one of the archangels, seized me by the right hand, lifted me up, and led me forth into all the secrets. And he showed me all the secrets of righteousness. So here, he's just like Daniel. When Daniel saw visions, he would just lose his strength. He would just say, oh, woe is me. And he would fall down and he would lose his strength. Same thing happens. I dare say it would happen to all of us. If all of a sudden we were in this position, we would have the same problem. And it would require an angel to come over, especially an archangel like Michael, to pick you up and say, let's get with it. And he showed me all the secrets of righteousness. He showed me all the secrets of the ends of the heaven and all the chambers of all the stars and all the luminaries, whence they proceed before the face of the holy ones. By the way, the holy ones are angels. And he translated my spirit into the heaven of heavens. Now, every time I see that, that is not the outer space here. The heaven of heavens is the third heaven. Okay? He translated me into the third heavens, and I saw there, as it were, a structure built of crystals, and between those crystals, tongues of living fire. Now, that term living means that they're actively moving, they're burning. Okay, this is a fire. If you look into a fireplace and you see a live flame, it's flickering. So these are living fire, and they girt that house. They go all the way around. And around were the seraphim, cherubim, and ophanim. And these are they who sleep not and guard the throne of his glory. So these three kinds of angels are literally in the presence of God inside of this house, which is girt about or ringed around with fire, and they're guarding the throne of God. And I saw angels who could not be counted or numbered, a thousand thousands and ten thousands times ten thousands encircling the house. Now these are guys, these are angels that aren't even in the house. We have angels in the house doing their protection and being right with the throne. And then all the way around the house, there was a congregation that's too big to note it, count. And Michael and Raphael and Gabriel and Fanuel And all the holy angels who were above the heavens go in and out of that house. And they came forth from that house, Michael and Gabriel, Raphael, Phanuel, and many holy angels without number, and with them the head of days, his head white and pure as wool, and his raiment indescribable. That's pretty good, because he's really a pretty good guy when it comes to describing things. He says, forget it. I can't describe it. And I fell on my face. Here we go again. And my whole body became relaxed. He lost all strength. And my spirit was transfigured. And I cried with a loud voice and with the power, with the spirit of power, and blessed and glorified and extolled. And these blessings which went forth out of my mouth were well-pleasing before that head of days. God received his praise and said, yes, this is good. Of course, you know, you get transfigured, you might praise the Lord, huh? And that head of days came with Michael and Gabriel and Raphael and Phanuel, thousands and ten thousands of angels without number. Now, this little statement here, lost passage, wherein the Son of Man was described as accompanying the head of days, I believe what this is referring to, and I can't prove it, is the fact that at least one of the copies of this book had it in it, but the one that they used here to translate did not. But when you read ahead, you'll see why they can say that pretty well. In other words, concerning the Son of Man as to who he was. So there was a question, who is this Son of Man? That's what was coming out of it. And he came to me and greeted me with his voice. He spoke and said unto me, this is the Son of Man who is born unto righteousness, and righteousness abides over him, and righteousness of the head of days forsakes him not. God the Father's righteousness. And he said unto me, he proclaims unto thee peace in the name of the world to come, and from hence hath proceeded peace since the creation of the world, and so shall it be unto thee forever, forever and ever. And all shall walk in his ways, since righteousness never forsaketh him. With him will be their dwelling places, and with him their heritage, and they shall not be separated from him forever and ever and ever. And so there shall be length of days with that Son of Man, and the righteous shall have peace and an upright way in the name of the Lord of Spirits forever and ever. So I think he got it right. I think if you go back and look at what we know from Scripture, that this is, these sayings are right. And boy, never forsaketh him. Any comments? Okay. Pardon? Yes, that head of days, peace, shalom, in the name of the world to come. You know, Jesus talks about it in this life and in the world to come. Section 3, the book of the heavenly luminaries. Now, first time I read this, I just got through it and said, let me get on to something else. He's laughing because he read it too. Probably had the same feeling. But the truth of the matter is, the more I read it, the more I study it, the more I like it. The book of the courses of the luminaries of the heavens. These are the things that shine. We see them all the time at night. The relations of each according to their classes. Their dominion. Now in the Bible, they're called dominions. Their dominion in their seasons according to their names and places of origin and according to their months. And Uriel, the holy angel who was with me, who is their guide, showed me all their laws exactly as they are, and how it is with regard to all the years of the world. This is and unto eternity. So basically he's saying, what I'm telling you will be good for a long, long time. Till the new creation is accomplished, which endureth till eternity. Do we believe that? A new creation? Oh, new heaven and a new earth, that everything else has passed away. It's still yet to come. It's a 1,000-year period where Jesus reigns, and then everything melts All the elements are gone, and God sets up a new world, which endureth till eternity. And this is the first law of the luminaries. The luminary, the sun, has its rising in the eastern portals of the heaven, and its setting in the western portals of the heaven. And I saw six portals in which the sun rises, and six portals in which the sun sets. And the moon rises and sets in these portals. And the leaders of the stars of those whom they lead, six in the east and six in the west, and all following each other in accurately corresponding order. Linda, you need to get on the machine here. See, you just have to stay on them all the time. This is my slide person. See if you can get it up. Because I'm going to read this, and then we're going to go back and talk about it so that you can understand what's being said. Accurately corresponding order, and many windows to the right and to the left of these portals. Now, I'm just going to mention, in my mind, when I see a window, it's like those things back there in the back of the room. See those two windows that go into the kitchen? Those are windows. See the door? That's a portal. Okay? One you go through, the other one you look through. Now, it doesn't mean you can't pass through food through those windows. You can. But it appears to me that the portals are different than the windows. And they're referred to differently. And when you get through all of this, it kind of seems to come out that way. That there is a difference between a portal and a window. And first there goes forth the great luminary named the sun, and his circumference is like the circumference of the heaven. And somebody needs to... never mind, don't turn the light out. We'll turn the light out when we get there. And he is quite filled with illuminating and heating fire. The chariot on which he ascends, the wind drives, and the sun goes down from the heavens and returns through the north in order to reach the east. So when the sun goes down, it goes north and then comes back up in the east. Now I'm going to show you that because it's true. And is so guided that he comes to the appropriate portal and shines in the face of the heaven. This is the way he rises in the first month in the great portal, which is the fourth portal. These six portals in the east. And in the fourth portal from which the sun rises, in the first month are 12 window openings from which proceed a flame when they are opened. Their season when the sun rises in the heavens. He comes forth through the fourth portal 30 mornings in succession, one right after the other, and sets accurately in the fourth portal in the west of the heaven. And during this period, the day becomes daily longer and the night nightly shorter to the 13th morning. 13 of the 30, that's what's happening. And on that day, the day is longer than the night by a ninth part. And the day amounts to exactly to 10 parts and the night to 8. And the sun rises from that portal and sets in the fourth and returns to the fifth portal of the east, 30 morning, rises from it and sets in the fifth. And then day becomes longer by 2 parts and amounts to 11 parts in the night, and shorter amounts to 7 parts. And it returns to the east and enters into the sixth portal, 14 means nothing, to the sixth portal, and rises and sets in the sixth portal 1 and 30 mornings on account of its sign. And on that day, the day becomes longer than night, and the day becomes double the night, and the day becomes 12 parts, and the night is shortened to become 6 parts, and the sun mounts up to make the day shorter and the night longer. And the sun returns to the east and enters into the sixth portal and rises from it and sets 30 mornings. And when 30 mornings are accomplished, the day decreases by exactly 1 part and becomes 11 parts. And the night and the sun goes forth from that sixth portal in the west and goes to the east and rises in the fifth portal for 30 mornings and sets in the west again. And in the fifth western portal on that day, the day decreases by 2 parts and amounts to 10 parts, in the night to 8 parts, and the sun goes down forth from the fifth portal, sets in the fifth portal of the west, and rises in the fourth portal for 1 and 30 mornings on account of its sign, and sets in the west. On that day, the day equalized with the night and becomes equal in length, and the night amounts to 9 parts and the day to 9 parts. And the sun rises from the portal, sets in the west, and returns to the east, and rises 30 mornings in the third portal, and sets in the west in the third portal. And on that day, the night becomes longer than day, and the night becomes longer than night. Okay. And day shorter than that day till the 13th morning, and the night amounts exactly to 10 parts, and the day to 8. 8 parts. And the sun rises from that third portal and sets in the third portal in the west, returns to the east for 30 mornings, and rises in the second portal in the east, and in like manner sets in the second portal in the west of the heaven. And on that day, the night amounts to 11 parts and the day to 7 parts. And the sun rises on that day from the second portal and sets in the west in the second portal, and returns to the east and in the first portal for 1 and 30 mornings, and sets in the first portal in the west of the heaven. And on that day, the night becomes longer and amounts to double that of the day, and the night amounts to exactly 12 parts, and the day to 6. And the sun has therewith traversed the divisions of its orbit, or his orbit, and turns again on those divisions of his orbit, and enters that portal 30 mornings, and sets also in the west opposite to it. And on that night has the night decreased by in length by a 9th part, and that night has become 11 parts and the day 7 parts. And the sun has returned and entered into the second portal in the east, and returns on those his divisions of his orbit for 30 mornings, rising and setting. And on that day, that night decreases in length, and the night amounts to 10 parts, and the day to 8. And on that day, the sun rises from that portal and sets in the west, and returns to the east, and rises in the third portal for 30 and 1 morning, and sets in the west of the heaven. And on that day, the night decreases and amounts to 9 parts, and the day to 9 parts. And the night is equal to day, and the year is exactly as to its days, 364, and the length of the day and of the night, and the shortness of the day and of the night arise through the course. And the sun, and of the course of the sun, these distinctions are made, they are separated. So it comes that its course becomes daily longer, nightly shorter. And this is the law in the course of the sun, and his return, as often as he returns 60 times and rises, as in the great luminary which is named the sun, forever and ever, and that which rises is the great luminary, and so is named according to its appearance, according to as the Lord commanded, as he rises, as he sets, and decreases not, and rests not, but runs day and night, and his light is sevenfold brighter than that of the moon, but as regards in size, they are both equal. Isn't that an interesting statement? They're both equal, sun and the moon. Do you know it's true? That's why we can have a total eclipse of the sun. If it was not the same size, that wouldn't happen. But it is. It's more it is exactly the same size. When you even get the diamond ring effect, it's so close to being the same size. And it's pretty amazing. Now you can go turn that off, and we'll talk about what we just read. The lights. Leave this on. Yeah, because it'll be easier to read. Yeah. We got other lights down there. This is my slide. Sun's rising right down here. It's the first day of the fourth portal, which is what he said. He starts with, and at the first day of the fourth portal, It is an equinox, equal night, equal day. And this is the first day of the year for Enoch's calendar. And he says it goes through the fourth portal up and down 30 days. And this is the first portal. It's 1 month, 30 days in length. He goes then into the second for the same thing, 30 days, portal 5. And he comes over and it goes 31 days in this portal because of the sign. And that is the fact that at that point, the sun stops and starts going backwards. Okay? Then that's a solstice. Sol meaning sun, stis, S-T-I-S-C, means to stop or to hold still. So the sun holds still right here. And then it turns and it goes backwards in on the fourth month, back through the sixth portal, back for 30 days through the fifth portal, back through the fourth portal for 31 days, because that day there is the equinox. And we're back in, and so we've gone 6 months through three portals twice. This area over here, the solstice, is when the sun stops as we rotate around it. Now, we'll talk about that in a minute. This is in the south. Then, here, it turns and starts going down through the 7th, 8th, and 9th, 30, 30, 31, because the solstice is there. And then 30, 30, 31, back to the equinox. That's what we read. That's how easy. What when you actually get down and go through it and just start charting what he says. The only thing I don't have on this chart is where inside of these portals, so many days, within the 30 days, he'll stop and say, there are so many parts. Okay, 9 on one side, 9 on the other, and all of that. All those parts, I didn't put them in here. But what's happening is what we all know, is that during the winter, we get short days, long nights. During the summer, we get long nights and short, long days and short nights. And that's what this, that's what he's referring to in there. Go to the next slide. Okay, this is, are the same portals. Looking east, sun coming up here. These are the solstice here. The furthest place across. Now, on that last slide, it was 23.5 degrees here, 23.5 degrees on the north side, is the range from the center of the travel of the sun across to the horizon here. If you take our calendar and overlay it over what's actually going on here, and you put the solstice here at 9:22, it's how we can reconcile two things. It's because we have an event that we can put into both. 9:22, September the 22nd, is the first day of the year. For Enoch, it's the third week of September for us. And then we come October, November, December, and on the 12th, 12:21 in December, we have the solstice. And then December ends going the other direction here. The rest of December going back the other direction. January, February, March, April, May, June. June over there, 6:21 is the solstice. It turns around, comes back to 9:22. But in this case, it's July, August, September. January here, of course, is where we start our year. And you might be surprised that there's very little about our months and our calendar today that has anything to do with anything but politics in terms of why one month is longer or shorter than the others. You know, I went in and tried to study it and to get some idea, and they have all these different calendars, and they really don't make much sense. This calendar makes a lot of sense because it says right here is where you start on the equinox and you take off and go. Any questions? Well, that's right. That's exactly right. This month is short. Well, that's because they didn't want it to have as many days as January. So, you know, let's move these days over here. We'll see it later here when we go through the moon, because the word month means a moon. It's the time that it takes the moon to travel around the earth. Now, by the way, and we'll go through this, the moon doesn't travel around the earth. That's why we always see the same size. And I'll explain that. But it doesn't change. It does not change in length. So you don't have 1 month 28 and another one 31 because the moon doesn't slow down, speed up, or whatever. Okay, next slide. I got this off the internet. Works for me. This is a guy right here, or a lady, standing on the east, west, north, and south coordinates, looking towards the east and towards the sky. And what happens here is that this is the sun coming up here, over, and back down, and going, setting in the same location, in the same, if you were to put those portals in here, this would be the portal, this would be the portal. And this would be the sun's path on June 21st, which means that that's the solstice. That's when the sun's all the way over on that side. Then you come to where it's in the center. It comes up here, back around here, and comes down here, September 21st, and then also on March 21st, we have two solstices. And this is the path that it takes. Comes up in the east, goes south, comes back down to the west, and then where does it go? It goes north, just like Enoch said. He says when it goes down in the west, it goes north so that it can come up in the east again. And here it is, it's going north, north, coming back up here in the east. So he's actually right in that respect. Also, here's your 23 and a half. They had all this on this thing, showing the total sweep across here, so many degrees in order to get the entire sweep of the sun. So the sun starts at the equinox, comes down here, stops, comes back up here, stops, and then comes back. Does that help? Yeah, so then that's what Enoch is saying. He says, I see this. And I also see that it goes north when it sets. What does this tell us about where Enoch was? It tells us he was north of the equator when this angel showed him the path, because this all changes. When you're north of the equator, the sun comes up and goes south. Okay? So that I believe he was north of the equator when he was being shown this, just like we are today. This is how it looks for us. Okay, next. Nope. Okay. Now, I'll turn these back on. We're going to read now about the moon. Any questions? It's really not a science class, but, you know, if you take the time to run through this, you can see that it's not just gobbledygook. It is when you just read it, okay? Okay, down here it says on 73, the moon and its phases. And after this, I saw another law dealing with the smaller luminary, which is called the moon. And her circumference is like the circumference of the heaven. And her chariot in which she rides is driven by the winds or through the sky. And the light is given to her. She doesn't have her own light. She's not a fire like the sun. The light is given to her in definite measure. And her rising and her setting change every month. And her days are like the days of the sun. And when her light is uniform or full, it amounts to the seventh part of the light of the sun. And thus she rises, and her first phase is in the east, comes forth on the 13th morning. And on that day she becomes visible and constitutes for you the first phase of the moon. And on the 13th day, together with the sun, in the portal where the sun rises, and the one half of her goeth forth by a seventh part. And her whole circumference is empty. It's a new moon. Without light, with the exception of 1/7 part of it, and the 14th part of her light. And when she receives the 1/7 part of the half of her light, amounts to 1/7 part and the half thereof. What we see is that you can be no light and it goes by sevenths of a part until it gets to half. Then it has a half, and then it goes by seven parts. So it's like a seventh plus what she had before the other half of the moon. So that's what takes place. And she sets with the sun, and when the sun rises, the moon rises with him and receives the half of one part of light. And in that morning, in the beginning of her morning, in the commencement of the lunar day, the moon sets with the sun and is invisible that night with 14 parts and half of them and one half of them. And she rises on that day with exactly a seventh part, comes forth and recedes from the rising of the sun. And in her remaining day, she becomes bright in the remaining 13 parts, little by little. And I saw, and now this is called the lunar year. Anybody want to comment on that? Do you understand what's happening in here? He's saying that basically every day of the week is the seven parts. It moves seven parts and then moves another seven parts, and that's a half moon. Wrong. Half moon to the seventh part, full moon to that, full moon back to a half moon, and then on through. Pardon? Waxing and waning, yes. Right here on this, and we'll look at this more in a minute, but we have a new moon, half moon, full moon, half moon, last. I call it last moon because I don't know what to call it. Okay, but it's the one before the full moon, the new moon. A new moon is a new month. So you start here. This happens to be 2014 January on the bottom there, and we're going to look at that in more detail in a second. But that's what we just read here. And those are the phases going across the bottom there. And it matches, you know, from what I can tell. Yeah, I guess so. It's the way they say it. I mean, I could speculate, but I, you know, Chuck, you have any ideas on why? Well, but that's the same for this is an Aramaic originally. Proto-Hebrew, before Hebrew, was what this was originally written. And they do the same thing. They have the female and the male. But why they chose the female or the male is what I don't know. I realize it is an easy thing to do. And they do that whenever they contrast something. Up and down is male, female, that type of thing. And you remember, we already talk about behemoths. Yeah, well. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Did you find that? Did you hear that? No, no. He answered it, not me. Yes, that, you know, the bride and the bridegroom. Pretty cool. Okay, the lunar year. And I saw another course, a law for her, and how according to that law she performs her monthly revolution. And all of these, Uriel, the holy angel, who is the leader of them all, showed to me and their positions. And I wrote down all their positions, and he showed them to me. And I wrote down their months as they were, and the appearance of their lights till 15 days were accomplished in the single seventh part. She accomplished all her light in the east, and the single seventh part accomplished all her darkness in the west. And in certain months, she alters her settings. And in certain months, she pursues her own peculiar course. Now, that's why it's called a woman. Yeah. Figured it out. All we have to do is keep reading. It clears right up. She follows her own peculiar course. In the months, the moon sets with the sun, and those two middle portals, the third and the fourth. She goes forth for 7 days and turns about and returns again through the portal where the sun rises and accomplishes all of her light. Goes through the whole set. And she recedes from the sun, and in the eighth day enters the sixth portal, and from which the sun goes forth. And when the sun goes forth from the fourth portal, she goes forth for 7 days until she goes forth from the fifth and returns back in 7 days into the fourth and accomplishes all her light. And she recedes and enters into the first portal in 8 days. And she returns again in 7 days into the fourth portal from which the sun goes forth. And I saw their position, how the moons rose and the sun set in those days. And if 5 years were added together, the sun has an overplus of 30 days. And all the days which accrue to it for one of those 5 years, when they are full, amounts to 364 days. And the overplus of the sun and the stars amounts to 6 days in 5 years and 6 days. Every year come to 30 days, and the moon falls behind the sun and the stars to the number of 30 days. And the sun and the stars bring in the years exactly, so that they do not advance or delay their position a single day unto eternity, but complete their years with perfect justice in 364. In 3 years, they are 1,092. 5 years, 1,820. So that in 8 years, there are 2,912 days. For the moon alone, the days amount in 3 years to 1,062. And in 5 years, she falls 50 days behind. There's another reason you know she's a female. There is to be added 1,062 days. And in 5 years, there are 1,770 days. So that for the moon, the days in 8 years amounts to 2,832. For in the 8 years, she falls behind to the amount of 80 days. And all the days she falls behind in 8 years are 80. And the year is accurately completed in conformity with the world stations and the stations of the sun, which rise from the portals, which through it rises and sets 30 days. All right.
Got it.
You got it, so we can just keep going? Let me turn off the lights. Maybe we can. When you look at this lineup here, this is the new moon in January. Comes through, comes over to a full moon here, all the way back down to a new moon here. But the new moon really should be the first day of the next month. That's why our months are all messed up. But this here is the last moon before you move up to the new moon. Now, you can see how all the moons here, they're all going off at an angle. That's because the calendars that we use are wacky. Okay? They don't have to be like that. They could actually say a month is a month. A month is a month is a month. But they don't. So this is what this is showing here. This is a moon phase chart for 2014. Well, look at the red ones. They actually have that on this chart. The blood moons. Okay, next. Okay, this is just some information that might help you understand why there are peculiar orbits and peculiar ups and downs and timing with the moon that you really can't necessarily explain. But this is the Earth, that's the sun over there, and the moon is going around, okay? And it's on an elliptical orbit. In other words, it's not a round orbit. It's not always the same distance from the Earth to the sun, to the moon. This is in part due to the fact that when the moon is on this side of the Earth, the gravity from the sun is greater than it is when it's on this side. Because here, the Earth and the sun are pulling on the moon, and her orbit is pulled down. So that's the lowest part of the orbit. As it comes around over here and comes out, then you get the gravity from the sun is the strongest and it pulls it out. So this thing is going around like this. And it does that all the time. Okay, next. Now, the orbit, this is looking, tilting the orbit on its side. This is the orbital plane of the Earth going around the sun, right there, that line, coming out here. And it's going around this way like this. And it's tilted on its axis. The Earth isn't straight. Something tilted us. That's why we have all of our seasons, is because we're tilted. And we face the sun at different ways. Now, the moon is going around the Earth, tilted off by 5.14 degrees. Above and below. So as you look at the moon at different times from the face of the Earth, it could be above, or if you're looking over here later, it's below. So the moon moves across the sky back and forth during a month. During 1 month, it's going to move from one edge to the other. 23.5 degrees, 23 and a half. That's exactly the same wipe that you got with the sun. On the last chart we had, it's the same. So when Enoch says they come up and go down in the same portals, they do. They come up and they go down in the same portals, in the same movement, depending on where you're at. Now, the moon is going around. The whole time, it takes a month for the moon to go all the way around, to come back from this point to that point to back to here. That's that over and there around. And then, but the Earth now rotates underneath 30 times. We rotate 30 times. The moon goes around once. Okay, next. This is the orbit of the moon. Moon. I want to explain it. What we have, the moon and the Earth are a binary system. A binary system. That means they are hooked together. And if you took two planets, bodies in heaven, and they're the same size, and they're in binary, they're going around each other like this, okay? The point that they would rotate around is the center of gravity, right here, in the middle of it, just like a teeter-totter. And so they spin around each other like this. If one of them was smaller than the other, like this and that, then the center of gravity moves from the center here to the center of this, depending on the ratio between the two. And so now all of a sudden, one of them is here and the other one's out here. And they're circuiting around this way, not from the center anymore, but from an area somewhere else. And they begin to go around each other. The truth of the matter with the Earth and the moon is that the moon here and its mass, its weight, and the Earth and its weight, the center of gravity for these two items is right here, actually just below the surface of the Earth. I used to read it, and they say the moon does not orbit the Earth from the center of the Earth. It orbits the Earth from a little bit outside of the center of the Earth. So, and when I realized and read that it was a binary system, I literally could calculate this distance. I wrote it down and got in online, and guess I was within 40 miles of being in the same place they calculated by just going in and getting the weight, the mass there, dividing it out. I said, oh, it's 1,000 miles under the surface of the Earth. Is that point that the two of them are going? What that means is that the Earth, this Earth, is going to go out, around, back here, around and back. So it's just kind of wobbling like this. And that's what that's doing. But this one, since it's in lockstep with it, is binary. It's like, it's here, you look at your fist. It's always facing me. That's why the moon never turns away from us. We look up, we see the same face of the moon all the time because we're in a binary orbit. It's not really an orbit at all. They're in a dance, the two of them. Any questions? What this does, What this does is this makes the moon, and of course the moon moves in along this line and out along this line, depending on where it is in its orbit, the sun. So it's going like this all the time. And then the Earth is spinning 30 times a month under here. And every time the Earth spins underneath the moon, you're here, the Earth spins, and all of a sudden, you're right under here. That's when you get your tide changes and all of that. Because the gravity from the moon pulls on that. If the sun were over here, it'd get any worse. So you have high tides, low tides, everything in between, based on where the moon is, where the Earth is, where the sun is. And then, if the moon happens to be closer, it also affects it more. Any questions? Okay, so this is why she follows this course, and she does do this. She's going in and out, over and around. She's up at her side, and she's going like this around us, okay? All right, next slide. Okay, now these are the same six portals. He says they come up and down in the portals. It says that her full moon starts here, goes 8 days, turns, and in one day, that's one of these eight is turning, and that's at 23.5 degrees, right in the sixth portal, goes 7 days back over to here to where it has no light, and then takes off and comes back around here to where it has half light, and then back over to here to where it has full light, 7 days, 8 days, 7 days, 8 days, and that matches exactly what that phase chart says that we were looking at the very first chart. It matches that same timing. Basically, it works. It justifies itself. It has the same wipe from this edge of this sixth portal. It is the same as the sun. When it says it goes up and down in the same portals, guess what? Then there's always a moon up there. Every day we have a moon overhead. And during the day, when it comes up with the sun, we don't see it. It's invisible because there's too much light. But every now and then, it's coming up after the sun. And then we see the moon come up and go over during the night. See, but the rest of the time, but it's always there. It never moves. We turn around underneath it. And every day when the sun comes up and we go where the moon is, it's there. Sometimes it's at night, sometimes it's not. Any questions? Enoch was not stupid. Or let's put it this way. The angel that was teaching Enoch, pretty good guy. Pretty good guy. And I'm not getting into all the idiosyncrasies. Linda, can you... Oh, let me do this real quick. You know what I'm going to do. You have no idea what I'm going to do. That's the problem. Oh, come here. Yeah, I can't see. I still can't. Oh, there we go. No. See, I don't have a thing here. End of show. See, I'm not sure. Yeah, see, we have to reset. Yeah, but see, that's... Here, let me go here. Right? And in here. Wrong? Well, you've escaped, people. It's a question of programming our output from here. But you can get on the internet and literally hit a moon tracker and watch the moon live. And it will tell you what time it is, where the moon is over in terms, and you can go find it any time during the day. You can tell when it goes up, when it goes down, and then you can watch the degrees move as the moon moves across, and you can see it there. And then you can go down underneath, and it'll give you all the predictions on, you know, each day, all the time, where you're going to find things and everything. That's how close you can predict the whole thing. And then the thing is going in and out. You know, there are times that one day it's this close, the next day it's this close, and the next day it's close again. And it's sitting there and it's just wobbling. And then I was going to show you the wobble, moon wobble, on if you go on YouTube and just put in moon wobble, go to NASA. NASA has a picture of the moon, full size here, and it will show it go, and just wobble along, you know, and it's actually going like this, based on everything that we were talking about there. Okay? Praise the Lord. All right. 75. And the leaders of the heads of the thousands who are placed over the whole creation and over all the stars have also to do with the four intercalary days. These are the days that you put into the leap years. Okay? Or leap days put in ever so many days. They acknowledge that this calendar loses time because you cannot divide the Earth's rotation and the Earth's orbit equally. The moon doesn't divide with anything equally. There's times when the moon and the Earth, they're all off. And you have to keep compensating. And we just read that here, how in so many day years it's so far off. Well, that's what he was saying here. Being inseparable from their office according to the reckoning of the year. And these render service on the 4 days which are not reckoned in the reckoning of the year. And owing to them, men go wrong therein. For those luminaries truly render service on the world stations, on the surface. One in the first portal, one in the third portal of the heavens, and one in the fourth portal, and one in the sixth portal. And the exactness of the year is accomplished through its separate 364 stations. For the signs of the times and the years and the days, the angel Uriel showed to me, whom the Lord of glory has set forever over the luminaries of heaven, in the heaven and in the world, that they should rule on the face of the heaven and be seen on the earth, and be leaders for the day and the night, the sun and the moon and the stars, and all the ministering creatures which make their revolution in all the chariots. Ministering creatures. Yeah. Yeah, I think here we're talking again about angels. Well, according to this, it was written by Enoch just before his translation, because he took them and gave them to Noah through Methuselah and Lamech, and they took them and gave them and said, this is to be taken through the flood. You're the only ones going through. You take it so everybody there knows, and that at the end of all the time, when everything is fulfilled, this book should be a guide for those living in the day of tribulation. Yeah, you probably have Adam to the flood would show it. I'm sure they have. Yeah, and if they didn't like what they were reading, it would be all over the internet. See, but if they say, well, you know, it's okay, then it's not on the internet, and they ignore it. Okay, and it's ignored. Because I tried to find people who could tell me without having to study it. I'm basically lazy. And so I wanted somebody to tell me what it all meant. But I had to sit down and start walking through it, working my way through it. And every time I found something I didn't understand, I set it aside, and then it would just come, oh, well, that's what it's talking about here. See, because it talks about the seven. It says it starts and goes over here and then back. But when you look at the actual thing, tracking, that's what it does. It goes over to the edge, 23 and a half degrees, comes back to the center, goes over to this edge in another week, and then back. And basically, it's 4 weeks and a couple of days. And it has that eighth day, you know, at that time. So what the sun takes all year to do its travel, the moon's going like this, 12 times in a year. And so it's something that, boy, I don't know how anybody follows it, but they do. Trust me, they do. And you can get on, and it's actually it's on our internet there, and you can click it right up and watch it. Yeah. Well, there's a good reason for wanting to know where the moon is, because they, you know, they go there. You don't want to show up and go. No, wait a minute. It was here last week. So, I mean, there's a good reason for wanting to know and calculating it and literally live. I mean, this thing, you're sitting there and you're just watching the distance change. And then the angle change and the distance change. And it just does, runs it all the time. It's really cool. I mean, once you get all the right numbers in there, you know where it's going. It's not hard, but it is impressive. All right. Where at? Number four. All the chariots of the heaven. In like manner, 12 doors Uriel showed me open in the circumference of the sun's chariot in the heavens, through which the rays of the sun break forth, and from them is warmth diffused over the earth. And when they are opened at their appointed seasons, and all the winds, and the spirit of the dew, when they are open, standing open in the heavens at the ends, as the 12 portals in the heavens at the ends of the earth, out of which come forth the sun and the moon and the stars. All of the works of heaven in the east and in the west. There are as many windows open to the left and the right of them, and one window at its appointed season produces warmth according to those doors, and the stars that come forth according as he had commanded them, wherein they set corresponding to their number. And I saw the chariots in heaven running in the world above these portals, in which revolve the stars and never set. And one is larger than all the rest, and it makes its course through the entire world. And at the ends of the earth, I saw the 12 portals open to all the quarters from which the winds go forth, blow over the earth. This is talking about seasons. Okay? And you can study it yourself, but basically, remember I talked about windows. I drew those portals from which the sun was coming up in the east. These are all just sections. But in the sky, you might visualize it. Here's a sphere, and we're on that sphere looking up, and then there's the atmosphere and then the heavens. Somewhere in the heavens, above the atmosphere, between heaven and earth, between the spirit realm and the physical realm that we live in, are portals by which angels can come through and go back out. There are windows that the energies or the angels can minister through and work through in order to change things. And basically, all of that is taking place in a realm over the earth all the way around. And that's where it's talking about 12 portals and all of this type of stuff here. So it's just a step above. But you don't want to think about that in the physical realm other than physical effects. There are physical effects from spiritual sources which are in portals around the earth.
Universe, and you think we might let something in, and you know that high.
Well, yeah, right. Well, see, this is the thing. We have our scientists who look at the world strictly through what you can see. They use telescopes. And they look at things and they feel things. They're hot, they're cold, they're far, they're near. All of that. They have mass, they don't have mass. It's energy. Then they look at it that way. But there's a lot now where people are looking into the theoretical realities of our world to explain what's really going on. See, and we look at it and say, of course, there's a spirit realm. There are entities. There are angels. There are powers. There are principalities. All kinds of things in this world. God has control of this. He created it, and His angels are dealing with all of this. When it, last week, we looked at the flood itself. And at one point, God told the angels, hold back the flood until certain things are ready to go. And we know that He can do that. And so, and then He said, angels, let it go. Go ahead, let it go. So those are the types of things. And those guys are looking into the quantum, you know, the side-by-side worlds. Parallel universes. Yeah. See, and they're finally realizing that, you know, when you look at dark matter, light dark energy and these things, they know it's there. They can see it bending light, but they can't quantify it in any way. It's beyond, it's invisible to us, but it's there. And it drives them nuts because, you know, they think it's one thing. They say the whole world is made up of lots of different things. Incredible variety of matter and everything in the world today. And they're studying it and they're getting, you know, we're understanding it. We're going to be able to make black holes. We're going to be able to do all kinds of stuff. But then when it comes to all of this stuff they don't know anything about, it's just one, they're looking for one particle. See, and that's because they would like to be in charge of, know everything about everything except one particle. But in reality, 90% of the universe is invisible to them. This is what God says in the Bible. You know, that there are two worlds, at least two worlds, side by side. And God, in the third heavens, the heaven of heavens, we read it here, is just one step beyond. And God allows the spiritual beings to go between them. And, you know, here when Enoch says, I'm translated, he says, I'm transfigured and translated. Okay, it's because he has to go through to the other side. Amen? So, you know, I used to get up every morning at work and go into science.com and then look at all the latest things they post during the night. And one time I came in and I saw this article that said something what time is it? Here we go again. Yeah, it's got to be somebody's fault. And I would rather it be somebody else. But it's not. Okay. So anyway, I got in there, and they had just sent some probes, NASA did, through the Van Allen belt. And as it passed through, everything they were getting was expected, and this is a really, it's a probe designed to go through. The Van Allen belt is all the energy collected that the sun throws at us that doesn't get in. And so it's a high energy belt, and it goes all the way around the Earth like this. Well, these things came out, but when they got out to the outside edge, they found out there were a whole bunch of belts. And they saw like 10,000 belts. And a belt would come on, would all of a sudden appear. It would go from zero on the power scale to 1,000,000 volts. It would accelerate particles to near relative speeds. Okay, that means the speed of light. And then discharge. And they said we saw over 1,000 of them in like 5 seconds. And they just kind of went, oh, you know. And of course, their probe, come back here. And they wanted to come back. And they went back. And my understanding is they didn't do it the next time. That they saw something they weren't supposed to see. They saw all of this energy and all of this taking place out there on the Van Allenville. And what they're saying is that it was like a particle generator that went all the way around the earth at the Van Allen belt, thousands of miles. And so the speeds that they were getting to make the speeds of our collider look like a Volkswagen. Yeah, because when you get in and look at the accelerators that they have, they say we will need one 1,000 miles in diameter to do what we want to do, to get the speed that we want. But this, the Van Allen belt going around, was like, 20,000 miles around the earth, and it was accelerating within seconds and then shooting energy off into where? See, and we talk about, the angels ascending and descending and going into that realm and back and forth. I think they may have accidentally seen that and had something to say, whoa, what was that? Whoa, what was that? And now, of course, God's saying, no, next time I ain't going to do that. We're not going to let them see that again. They're going to put a name on it and think it's theirs. That's what they do. They put a name on it. Well, this is a Higgs. So the bottom line is I think that's what's going on here. And now, the 12 winds and their portals. We'll do this real quick and we'll end. At the ends of the earth, I saw 12 portals open to all the quarters of the heaven, from which the winds go forth and blow over the earth. Three of them are open on the face of the east of the heavens, three in the west, and three on the right, and the south of the heavens, and three on the left, as in the north, and the first three of those of the east, and the three are the north, and three after those on the left of the south, three of the west. Through four of these comes winds of blessing, prosperity, and from those eight come hurtful winds. When they are sent, they bring destruction on the earth and on the water and upon all who dwell thereon, and everything which is in the water and on the land. And the first wind from these portals, called the east wind, comes forth through the first portal, which is in the east, inclining to the south. From it come forth desolations, drought, and heat, and destruction. And through the second portal, in the middle, comes what is fitting. And from there comes rain and fruitfulness, prosperity, and dew. And through the third portal, which lies towards the north, comes cold and drought. And after these come forth the south winds from the three portals, through the first portal of them, inclining to the east, comes a hot wind. And through the middle portal, next there, come forth fragrant smells, and dew and rain and prosperity and health. And through the third portal, lying to the west, come forth dew and rain, locusts and desolation. And after these, the north winds from the seventh portal in the east comes dew, rain, and locusts and desolation. And from the middle portal come in a direct direction, health, rain, dew, and prosperity. And through the third portal in the west come cloud, hoarfrost, rain, dew, and locusts. Can you get that thing back up? Thanks. And after these four are the west winds, through the first portal adjoining the north come forth dew and hoarfrost and cold and snow and frost. And from the middle portal come forth dew and rain, prosperity, blessing. Through the last portal, which adjoins the south, come forth drought and desolation and the burning and destruction, and the 12 portals of the four quarters of the heaven and therewith completed, and all their laws and all their plagues and all their benefactions have I shown thee, my son Methuselah. Okay. Are you there? Okay. I think this one reads good enough. Leave the lights on. This is called the 12 portals of the winds. So I'm showing these portals over the earth. I'm saying that if you lived here, I just happened to put Israel under here, but that's just because I needed something under there saying, you live here, and you're in this place. And what it says, that if you get winds out of the north, those winds that come out of the north generally are prosperity, rain, and dew, and health. Good winds. And you can depend on those winds. And then it says there are four such directions. Over here to the east, to the south. Now the south has fragrant smells, rain, and prosperity. And then this one over here is health, rain, dew, prosperity again. Those are those four that it talks about. And then it talks about all the counter directions. It says that when you're in the east, but it's got towards the south side, you get desolation, drought, and heat. When the winds blow from this direction. Now, you see these letters around here. W means winter, S is summer, SW is summer and winter. And so when you see the wind coming out of this direction, according to Enoch, it's coming, it's a summer wind. It's bringing heat, drought, and all these things. It's not a winter wind. It's going to come out of this direction during the summer. And then as you go up here, it's drought and cold. I'm saying that's a winter wind. Dry, but cold. And they're going to come into this area, this location, this way during the winter. And then here it says dew, rain, but also locusts and desolation. So I'm saying locusts have an eight-month window of a lifetime. And I'm saying it's a summer wind because the locusts can't be blowing in the wind unless they're there. And they're dead the rest of the year, so it has to be a summer wind, basically, that's bringing them down in to the area. So when the wind starts blowing from this direction, look out, because it's probably going to bring those in. And then over here, summer and winter, snow, rain, and locusts. Well, snow and rain, the rain could be summer, but snow is not. And so coming in this way is going to be a summer, and a winter wind would be coming through here. Blowing from that direction, these are the things that are going to come on you. Cold, snow, and frost coming in. It's a winter wind. Drought, desolation, and burning. It's a spring or summer wind coming in from this side. Rain, locust, desolation coming in here on a summer. And then we have the good things and the fragrant smells. Probably a spring wind when that's happening, because somewhere it's pollinating and you're getting those smells of spring being blown in this way from something down in this area. So it's, and these are all, now you say, well, but we know that the wind just blows and there's highs and lows and whatever. But if you stop and think about it, right here where we live, during the winter, if we're going to get most of our snows, most of our snow is going to come in over the mountains and north. Regular snow. Okay. But not all of it. Sometimes we get a wind that comes in from the south or the southwest, and it's called an upslope. And suddenly the wind's coming in this way. And what this is telling us is that basically what they can look for in terms of the winds and the portals of the winds and where they're coming in and how they intermix. You know, you have to stop and think about it. Even our weathermen, you know, all they're doing is getting data and modeling it to see if it repeats itself. And to some extent, it does. But the more they do it, the less it does. The more they find out they can't predict where anything's going. They have 10 hurricane plots from this location with this data, and they go like this. They go all over. Why? Because it's not that simple. God is saying there are portals in the heaven and orders given on where to push. When we have a high pressure system, somebody's going like this in the spirit, causing high pressure. When there's low pressure, somebody's causing that. When you turn things around and you push your high pressure this way and then push it that way, God is directing and allowing those things to happen. It's the only way that you can explain what Jesus did in the boat. When he rebuked the wind, said, "Guys, knock it off." And they knocked it off. Yeah, there was authority there. And so, one time when I was a young Christian, I came home from church down at the 9th and Acoma, and I was filled with faith, clear to hear, and I was really flying high. I came home, and it was blowing, it was windy, and I pulled into our townhouse, and we had this cover over the top of the carport, and I came in, I was getting ready to get in the door, and it started. It was kind of windy, and I said, "I rebuke you, wind." I did. I said, "I rebuke you, wind." And no sooner than I had done that, a gust hit and tore the whole thing off. Literally ripped the top of this thing off. And I watched it blow away, and I said, "Well, someday." I opened the door, went in, and went to bed. But, you know, that's the difference between us and the Lord. Okay? They have to listen to Him. So what's happening here, Linda and I, we know that at certain times the wind coming from a certain direction means different things. And that's what's being said here. But he's saying that these are portals in the heavens. There are literally powers in the heavens doing this. Amen? Anybody got any questions? Oh, no, nobody? Okay. Yes, Jerry. What? No. Not until I get done with these questions, then I'll let you know.
Locusts.
Yeah.
What is locusts on there? What does it represent besides
grasshoppers? Well, locusts are plagues. And it's written here, I mean, that we were reading it, it says locusts. Yeah. And so that's why I'm putting it there. Yeah, no, it's saying that not everything that the wind blows in is good for you. You know, it's cold, it's this, it's hail, it's whatever. And I mean, we have a farmer back here that knows that you got to watch the skies. You got to know what's going on, and you have to respond that way. If all of a sudden a farmer says, "Man, we're getting this wind from this direction this time of year, we got problems." Yeah. Yeah. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. The earth is the Lord's, and yes, He is trying to accomplish His purposes, and He is dealing with us. And what happens that brings most of the change in our lives? Affliction. That's exactly right. Now, you know, by the same token, I know, and we've had... The Brinkmans have been here, and the Brinkmans watched the fire coming at their house. Gary did, and was praying, and he saw that fire coming at his house turn and go over and go the other direction. I was going to say burn the neighbor's house, yeah. But it didn't come to his house. Okay, now I know that God's angels move, that God's angels respond to people who say, "God, we need you. You know, we need your help." And he could have the opposite to this. The very opposite of this is that it was like an experiment that you just set into motion. You know, a firework that you lit the fuse and ran. And it goes anywhere it wants to go, kills whoever it wants to kill. That's the opposite to this. This is God saying, "Do this, do that. Okay, try them. Okay, and see whether or not they're going to turn to me in affliction or not." So it really is a trial. But the good news is that God, we have an advocate with the Father to say, "Lord, I realize that my very existence depends on whether or not you sustain me and deliver me from all of these things." So, yeah.
All of these portals are like they just come from the same portal, like the earth.
No,
are they all separate, or they come down?
I think that it was kind of what I was trying to describe. Now, you know, I'm trying to describe something spiritual, okay? That you have the earth, and then you have the area around the earth. And around the earth are these portals in all different directions, and spiritual entities, spiritual powers, being able to come through those windows and those portals to affect the earth, to cause high pressure systems and whatever else in the winds to make them blow and to go wherever they want to go.
So they would come through the same portal as other things, right?
Well, I think there are, it says here, basically, that there's a bunch of them. There's 12 of them here.
Okay.
12 of them. There's four on the sides that are good, and then these ones from the counter sides are those that try us, basically. So it's not like one big giant hole over the earth where everything goes in and out. Okay, but there are all of these, the interface, because not everybody lives in that one little place that I have underneath the hole. Okay, so, but it could be the earth. And I'm just telling you what I'm getting from what I'm reading. Okay, I am no authority. Okay, I'm trying to. Well, I think so. You know, that's what I'm trying to do is to give a view to it. Should we pray and leave? Should we pray quick? Oh, I got 2 minutes. What are you trying to do? It'll take that long just to pray, won't it? Thank you, Lord. We will pick it up on 77 next week. Lord, thank you for the time we had and the thoughts that we have and the things that we're reading here, Lord God. There's without a doubt this book and this man wants to glorify you and lift you up, Lord God, and show us spiritual things. And Lord, we just want to thank you now. I ask that you would be with each person here. You will give them traveling mercies, that you will put a hedge around them, Lord God, hedge them in on their traveling, going home, over their homes tonight, over their families, Lord God, that you would raise up a standard, O God, against the enemy that would come against your people. We call upon your name, in Jesus' name, amen.